Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Yes, it's good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord. Love the Lord. We love Jesus, right?
Amen.
Amen. We love Jesus. Yeah, we want to talk about Jesus. Scott, can you think of anything better to think about than Jesus?
No, I can't. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Okay. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, yeah, the one thing we want to do is forget those things that are behind.
Amen.
I mean, don't want to worry about that. Forget them things and press on forward.
Hallelujah.
To the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, you know, you're going to have those problems, but don't worry about it. You know, I mean, you know, just get rid of them. Kick them out.
Amen.
And demons you don't need. Obey God and do what He says. Now, if you listen real careful when you're talking to the Lord, you hear Him say, you need to get rid of those old things and press forward toward the new things.
Amen.
I've got things for you to do. I ain't got time to hang around with this old stuff. Let's get some new stuff.
Yeah,
in fact, I was talking to some people, two or three different ones today, that were believing believers. Now, they go to a Church of Christ and a Baptist, between the Baptist Church and the Church of Christ, because most Church of Christ, most of them that I've been to and talked to, they're unbelieving believers. And most of the Baptists that I was associated with all them years I went to the Baptist Church, most of them were unbelieving believers. But every once in a while, you run into one that's run into somebody that we prayed for.
Amen.
And whenever you see us pray for somebody and a miracle happens, or healing happens, or whatever it is, like that girl the other night, the little girl, she wrote in and said, I have a problem. I cannot sleep. I said, I would go to bed and I just lay there for a few minutes and I wake up and I cannot sleep. She says, is there anything you can do to help me? I told Cheryl, I said, that girl has a demon. That's a demon doing that to her. She don't realize it. She's a daughter of the King, and she does not realize who she is, the power she has over that devil, and she don't have any faith to back it up. So I just said, I'm in the name of Jesus. I said, Luke 10:19-20, clearly says, I have been given all power and all authority over the spirits of hell, and they have to be subject to me. So I said, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus, you hear what Jesus just said? He said, you have to obey me and do what I say. So I am commanding you to come out of that girl. I'm taking authority over you. Commanding you to come out of this little girl and go to the abyss and you stay there. In Jesus' name, don't you bother her no more. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, thank you for filling her with the Holy Spirit and the spirit of love, joy, and peace. It's done in Jesus' name. I said, now, honey, ride her back and tell her we prayed. She's delivered. I guarantee it. In Jesus' name. Next night, a couple nights later, we got an email back from her. She said, it is absolutely awesome. I got that email, said, I'm delivered. She said, I slept perfect last night and everything since. Everything's been perfect.
Hallelujah.
How much power and authority have we been given by the Lord? What is it you don't understand about the Word? Now then, somebody else told me something a while ago that I thought was so cute. He said, a pastor that he knows, and he's a really good Bible teacher. I know him myself. He says, some people don't have any problem at all letting the Word of God get totally in the way of what they believe. Do you know what I'm talking about? The Word. If the Word says, thou shalt not, what did he mean?
Thou shalt not.
But some people, they don't make any difference what the Bible says.
They don't believe.
That's absolutely right, Miss Jackie. Some people, and one of the things, you know, that most of these people, if you tell them that, do you know that there is a, in fact, I got so tickled that Dave, a while ago, and he was really dressed up today. He looked really, really, really sharp. And I told him how sharp he looks. But I remember one time Dave was at another church of another denomination. And they believe the Bible. They say they do. And this elder or deacon or whatever they call him, he got sick and he had a problem and he wasn't feeling good. And so he was in the church there and they walked up to shake hands with him and he said, "How you doing, brother?" And he said, "Man, I ain't doing good at all. I really feel sick." Dave reached up and put his hand on his shoulder and he said, "Let me lay hands on you." And immediately the man pushed Dave back and he said, "Get away from me. I don't believe that stuff." Now you see what I mean? The Bible, the Bible said, "Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Is that what he said, brother?
Yes.
Baron.
Yes, sir.
It couldn't be. Nobody could be that stupid, could they?
Yes, they could.
There's two of us right here, right? I know you believe that, and I know I believe. If God said in His Word something, you need to obey it. Now, I'm just like this brother. I know a lot of people that have no problem letting the Bible get in the way of what they believe. You know, I mean, in fact, I will tell you, this poor girl's dead now, but at our 50th anniversary of the high school, I went back down to Goldslate, and Cheryl was sitting across the table from me. This girl was sitting here to my right. I went to school with her for 12 years, nearly 12 years. She's talking to me. She says, "How you been feeling, Thurman?" I said, "Oh, I feel great." She said, "How many medications are you on?" I said, "None." She said, "What do you mean none? You're kidding me." I said, "No, I have no medication. I don't take no, I have no pain. I'm not in pain, so why should I take it?" She said, "You mean to tell me, here you are at our 50th anniversary, and she said, you don't have any pain whatsoever?" I said, "No, I don't have any pain whatsoever." "How do you do that?" I said, "I read the Word of God." She said, "Are you trying to tell me that you read the Bible and that keeps you from getting sick?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you." She said, "Thurman, you know those stories in that Bible are just a bunch of stories." Wow. Ooh, it's a good thing God's merciful, huh?
Oh, yeah.
But did you know that's the way some people think? And some of you in this room, maybe all of you in this room, at one time or another, you've thought that yourself.
That's right.
You know, I can remember Miss Kim up here. I mean, she's one of my best teaching tools. I remember one time, here she is, a school teacher and everything else, her and her husband, and they used to be Catholics. I mean, they didn't know nothing about laying hands on the sick or praying for people.
No, sir.
Never did see any miracles or nothing, did y'all, Scott?
No.
And then one day she listened to somebody say something about Matthew 18:19 says, if two of us agree about anything we ask for, it's done. She said, "You know, boy, wouldn't that be nice if that really worked?" Do you know that's the way we are? We don't believe this book. So then they heard about me over in Dallas, and she had a back trouble. So they came to see what this healing ministry was all about. And that Sunday, the Lord told me, whenever I got up to preach, it's amazing how God does strange things. He said, "Son, there's several of my people here today that have pain in their body. I want you to bring them up here and pray for them, and I'm going to heal them. Right here." I said, "Wow." I said, "The Lord just spoke to me and He told me that He's got several of His people here that's got a problem and you got sickness and you got pain in your body and He wants to heal you." I said, "If you got a pain in your body, I want you to come up here right now." So about 15 or 20 or 25 people began to get up all over the place. And they come down the aisle and they come over here and they come over here. And I thought, "Now, what do I do?" He just said He wants to heal them. So I said, "What do I do, Lord?" I didn't know what to do. I mean, I really, He had never done that before to me. So I thought, okay. I said, "So I'm going to stand right here and I want each one of y'all one by one to come up here. And I'm going to lay hands on you or just pray for you." And I said, when your pain goes away, I want you to just walk off and go sit down." So I said, "Where's your pain?" And this person said, "My pain's in my knee." I said, "Okay." So I began to lay hands on them and rub their little knee. And I said, "Be healed in Jesus' name." And They said, wow, the pain, it went away. She just walked off. And I thought, wow, that wasn't very hard at all. Why did we make this so hard? I mean, obeying God was so, that was so easy. And I thought, wow. In fact, who is there anybody in here today that was here that day besides Kim? I know she, her and Scott were there. Anyway, she didn't come up. I prayed for all 20 or 25 of those people. And when I say I prayed, I really just laid hands on them. You know, the people come, I just kind of laid my hands on them. And I don't know what to do. You know, if they're upturned, they got a problem, I just say, be healed in Jesus' name. And I said, now, when the pain goes away, and still got the pain, yeah, the pain's still there. I didn't do this to her, but somebody else. So I said, I'll lay there again in the name of Jesus, be healed. After three or four times, all of a sudden, she says, the pain went away. Right. And she walked off. I thought, well, I guess they just keep doing it. So I'm learning as I go. So anyway, I kept praying for them and finally got the last one prayed for. It took, well, there was this one lady, I'll never forget her. It came up her time and she said her pain was in her body. And I told her, I said, well, I prayed for her and prayed for her and prayed for her. And we prayed for her longer than anybody. And all of a sudden I said, your pain's not going away. I said, ma'am, I want you to say, Jesus, I'm healed. She said, G. I said, ma'am, say Jesus. G. I said, now I know. Now I know. She's got a demon. He's preventing her from saying the name of Jesus. I said, you devil of hell, I have authority over you. I rebuke you. I command you to come out of this woman and go to the abyss and leave now in Jesus' name. I said, now, ma'am, say Jesus. She said, Jesus.
Yeah.
And when she said Jesus, she said, my pain just went away.
Hallelujah.
She said, I want to be saved. And she wasn't even saved. And so we led her to Christ right there. She got saved. So anyway, when we got through with everybody, everybody got prayed for and everybody got healed.
Yes,
everybody got healed. Kim was still sitting back there in the back. She had never been to a healing service and she didn't know what was going on, so she's sitting back close to the back door in case something crazy goes on. She can get out.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we go to a church meeting. We want to sit next to the door so we can get out in case somebody does something crazy. Oh my goodness. Jesus, she was afraid she'd fall down. So she didn't want to fall down, so she wouldn't come up. And so anyway, after it's all over, and I prayed for everybody, and everybody's done. This took 2 hours, just about it. And all of a sudden, Kim says, well, everything seems to be okay. Everybody got healed. So she stood up and started to walk off. She says, I don't have no problem in my back. She said, I've had back trouble for years. And that's been years ago, hasn't it, Kim?
Years ago.
And tell you what, that Sunday when her and Scott, her husband, saw that happen, let me tell you, it lit a fire in them to become believing believers.
Amen.
And I'm telling you what, every time they run into somebody, that they haven't met before, don't know nothing about them, first thing they ask them, are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus?
Right.
And I have no idea how many people this couple has led to Christ, but they've been about the Lord's business. And is that what God called us to do?
Yeah.
I mean, she found out there, she said, I always thought, wouldn't it be nice if that Matthew 18:19 really did work?
And it really does.
Ladies and gentlemen, if it's in that book, it works.
That's right. Amen.
If it is in that book, you can take it to the bank. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
It will work, I guarantee you. I just stand in awe of the words of wisdom that's in this book. And this book, if every young man today will, of course, we're going to talk about men and women because we're going to talk a little bit about Proverbs. A little more, let me get my chair up here. I want you to think what this really is saying. This is wisdom to the young men. Now, as most of you know, especially all of you young men, there's one thing that's on the mind of a young boy from the time he's probably 10 years old, and that is sex. And the daddies today don't tell their sons about women the right way. Very few daddies explain to boys. In fact, I remember when Tim and I, we went to a school meeting, and Tim was in front of me, walking several steps out in front of me. As we're walking in, the boys can see Tim come through here, but they don't see Dad. So as I'm walking along behind them, these boys out in front here, these are all about 12-year-old boys. And those boys are talking about their bodies and certain parts of their body and how they work. And they're using slang language. Well, they use some slang language. As we walked around the corner and one of the boys used that word, talking about his own body, he turned around and looked. And when he turned and looked, he saw Tim, and then he had already said the word. And so when he turned and looked, the next step, I stepped onto the scene. It dumbfounded him. You know, he's caught in the act. And Tim, as we walk up there a little further, Tim says, "Daddy, what does that mean?" The word they used was a slang word about their physical body. And so Tim said that, "Daddy, what does that word mean?" All the boys couldn't help but snicker and laugh. And Tim says, "Daddy, did I do something wrong?" I said, "No, you're the only one that's right." I said, "Anytime you and I talk about our physical bodies and our sexual organs, we talk about them with a term that's in the book. We don't use slang language like these boys are using." So I said, "That's what they're doing. They're using slang language." They had no idea that Tim and I had sat down with this book, the book of Proverbs, and I had explained to him and my daughter what goes on in life and how these things work. If you're not telling your sons about sex and how it works, they're going to learn it the wrong place. Because I guarantee they're going to learn it.
Amen.
You can't, if you send your kid to school, I mean, they're going to hear it, aren't they, Miss Jackie?
Hear it loud.
Yeah.
And clear.
Yeah, and clear. And they're not going to understand what, in other words, what we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 3 and 4 today is what you need to tell your sons and daughters. They need to understand the principles of the kingdom of God. Amen. And you need to understand the principles of a human body and how it works. And a human body is a beautiful thing.
Amen.
It is out of this world beautiful. God made this thing and he put it together, and it is beyond your imagination what he can do with that if you'll use it rightly.
Amen.
But there's some scriptures, some interpretation. There's some things you need to know about your children and sex. They need to know. The thing about it, if you don't tell them, they're going to learn it from somebody else and you won't like the results. Because young boys are taught by their dads in so many societies that you learn how big a man you are as to how many women you can have sex with before you get to be 20. Am I telling you the truth? There's a lot of them this is the way you can tell if you're a man. If you can find a girl and you can conquer her before, if you want to be that, you want to be the first one that gets her. You want to have sex with her, and that's your goal. See how many girls you can have sex with by the time you're 20. And they have no idea what they're doing to their children. But we're going to read out of Proverbs chapter 3 and 4 today some of the things that happen. And I don't know if we'll get to number 5 or not, but there's an awesome statement in Proverbs 5 that tells you what's going to happen to you if you do it the wrong way. Men, it's amazing how this works. So Let's go, Dave, to chapter 3 and start reading and just read a little bit. And we'll, or maybe just read the whole chapter, chapter 3, and then we'll talk a little bit about it, and then we'll come back. Number 3, Proverbs chapter 3.
My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee.
Stop just a second right there. Did you hear what he just said? Long life and peace and everything will this add to your life if you will hear these words and obey these words. Does anybody in here, when I said, would you like to have live a long life?
Amen.
Oh, you're a smart boy. Because, you know, some boys would say, oh, yeah, I want a long life, but I don't have to obey those rules. No, I don't want to obey those rules. Have you heard young men tell you those things as you were growing up?
Yeah.
We don't. We all have, haven't we? So many. Read that one more time, Dave. That's powerful.
For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee.
Think of that. Just think of what he just read. Everybody in their right mind is looking for that answer, right? Everybody. I don't care who you are. You're looking for the answers. He just told you this is what's going to be the results if you obey me and keep my law.
Amen.
Long life. Does long life may not seem much to you. How old are you, son?
13.
How many?
13.
Here he's 13 and I'm 80. The time to the two of us means two different things. 80 years I've already lived. I've had 80 years. That's a pretty long life.
Mm-hmm.
How many friends did I go to high school with that's already in the grave?
Yes.
A lot of them. You know where I'm coming from? You have any friends that's already in the grave?
Yep.
Baron, you got friends that's already in the grave?
Yes, sir.
And they could be alive just like you if they'd only obeyed the rules, right?
Yes, sir.
But they got the wrong information. Because the Lord said, if you get this information, it will bring long life. Is that what we want, brother?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, especially the older you get, the more you realize how important life is. Because today, the price you give for today, you paid it. And you come to church. You're investing in life. If you go to church and obey God, when it says it'll increase your life, just think. You might live 5, 10, 20 years longer because you come to church today. Do you know that? If you hear the Word of God and obey the Word of God, it says it will bring long life and health to you and peace. That's what everybody on the earth is looking for. So if they're looking for it, where is it? In the book. In the book. Okay, Dave, read on just a little further.
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart.
Mercy and peace.
So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man.
Wow.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
If he says depart from evil.
Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Wow. Depart from evil. If you're listening to the Word of God and you hear what he just said, you ought to run from anything that even appears to be evil. Because he said it's going to give you long life. You're going to be successful and prosperous in living, and you're going to bring a long, healthy life to you. That's what everybody in the world is looking for. I mean, I can remember when I was in school, one of the history books they were looking for, what did they call that? They were looking, something about life. The fountain of life, yeah. They were looking for the Fountain of Youth. Yeah, the Fountain of Youth. That's what.
Yeah.
And they talked about all these men that traveled all over the world, done all kinds of stuff, Magellan or whatever, and all kinds of people that went everywhere looking for this fountain of life. And they had it on the ship all the time, the Bible. The Bible is the fountain of life. It will give you a long life. What were all these people looking for? A long life. If you're looking for a long life and you got the book that tells you this will bring long life to you, you need to study this thing. Is that true?
Amen.
You need to study the book. Okay, Dave, read another book. Keep reading.
It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones.
Health. I mean, are we looking for health? Boy, you look at somebody that's sick or afflicted and they're looking for health, I guarantee. They're looking. I know even with Christy, when she had that stroke, she had, I mean, they're looking for the best hospital, the best rehab center that they can find with the best equipment because they want her to get well. But do you know where the answer's at? It's in the Bible.
Yes.
It's in the Word of God. When you see something in that book, it says do something. You better do it. If you want to have a long life, and especially if the book tells you, if you'll do this and obey these rules, it will bring long life and peace and happiness to you and to your family. Whatever it told you to do, I would suggest that you lock on to it and you do it. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Amen.
But you know, that's amazing that just like we just talked about, if you get sick, and your mate, male or female, doesn't make any difference which one. One of you got sick, or one of your children is sick. Boy, why is it the very first thing we do if they get very sick, we take them, load them up, and take them down to the doctor? I mean, I can understand the world doing this, but I'm looking for the church, which has got these promises of God. Why in the world, if our children, if one of them comes down with a cold or a head cold or something, why don't you just go over there and say, Lord, I remit my sins, my wife's sins, I remit my boys or my girl, whichever one it is, their sin. Now then, Lord, I thank you for forgiving us, and we're going to lay hands on our son or daughter or whatever, or maybe your wife or whatever. And your word says that if we repent of our sin, you will forgive us, and then we can lay hands on the sick and you'll heal them. So Lord, thank you for healing my mate in Jesus' name. Now, honey, it's done. Let's go have something to eat. You know, that's just like that night that Cheryl fell down right in here after the Christmas a couple of years ago. Whenever I went to the bedroom back, I was going to go to bed, and she went to the kitchen, was going to take the cake or whatever. And on the way back, she tripped. And she fell down on her hand, her head, hit her head on the concrete floor, and hit her arm at the wall. And boy, when my phone rang, she just barely whispering, honey, I'm hurt. Man, I come running back through here and like to stepped on her right there in the hallway. The lights was very low, nothing was turned on hardly, so I like to run over. I got down there and she said, oh my goodness, I'm hurt. I know I'm going to have a bruise. I said, no, you're not going to have a bruise. I said, there ain't going to be no bruises, guarantee, woman. And she said, but my honey, I fell, I hit my head. I know it's going to swell up. I said, quit saying that. I said, guarantee it ain't going to swell. You ain't going to have no swelling. You ain't going to have no bruises. You're going to be fine. Just believe. And so anyway, she said, but honey, I lost it. So I reached up and swatted her on the backside and said, I said for you not to say that no more. Now, some people say, you know, you need to kill that guy. He's crazy. Is that what somebody would say, most of them, Aaron? What's wrong with this crazy guy? He slapped his wife on the butt. You know, you shouldn't even think about that. My goodness gracious, he ought to be calling 911. Don't he know that he's old and she's old and she's probably got a broke bone or two? And I think of one lady that fell down on her, in her house and hit on her palms of her hands, and the very first words out of her mouth, I know I have broke both wrists. Her husband picked her up, took her to the hospital, and guess what she had?
Two busted wrists.
Both of them. The first words out of her mouth, I know I have broke both wrists. And she did. I told Cheryl back there, I got her up. I said, now, honey, get up. And she, okay, she was having trouble. I said, grab my arm or get up. I'm going to pick you up. picked her up and I took her back there, and she said, "Oh, I got to look at myself." I said, "You don't have any bruises. Don't worry about it. I guarantee." I said, "I know Mark 11:23, and you don't have no bruises."
That's right.
Mark 11:23. Why did I bring that in? What does that say?
Speak to your mouth.
You mean it really says that, Baron? Whatever if I speak to a mountain, that mountain will move, I believe.
Yep.
Wow. Anyway, we get back there to the back, all the way back there, and she looks in the mirror. She looked, she said, "Well, don't look very bad." I said, "It ain't going to look bad at all if you're going to confess with me. You're going to be in agreement. If two of us agree and that there's no bruises, there's going to be no bruises."
No bruises.
So, see, that's why it pays good dividends to go to church and learn the Word of God, right? Because if I didn't know this, and how could I stand by faith on this if I didn't know those promises were there?
No,
absolutely not. I got to know those promises. You can't stand on a promise that you don't know is yours. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we got Cheryl up and going, and boy, I'm telling you, in a little while, I'll never forget when she comes slithering into the bed there. She just come right over there. She was looking good. She pulled in under, pulled right up against me, and she said, "Honey, I am so glad I'm married to you." She said, "I don't have a bruise nowhere." Now, if you'd asked her a little while before when I slapped her on the backside, she might have said, "Kill him. Get rid of this man. He's hurting me." Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But I wasn't hurting her. I was trying to get her attention.
That's right.
And I knew I was trying to get her attention because I know what Mark 11:23 says. What does it say? Mark 11:23, what does it say?
"For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall not, ye shall not doubt in your heart, you shall believe in those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever."
Did everybody hear what she just said?
Well, have they said?
Mark 11:23. Mark, in fact, put that up there on the board. We got to look at that. I mean, it couldn't have a promise that powerful in the Word of God that we could just call on. Surely somebody would use that crazy thing. Wouldn't you think?
Absolutely.
Mark 11:23, one more time. Read that out loud one more time. What does that say, Dave?
"For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith."
Now just stop and think about that a second. That magnificent, awesome verse that Dave just read was put in there by the King for you and me.
Hallelujah.
That's my promise. That's your promise. That's your promise too, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Guarantee it. If it's in there, if we can believe, it'll work. If you don't believe, it won't work. He went so far as to say that if you can speak to a mountain, now if the possibility is there that you can speak to a mountain, and if you don't doubt, it'll obey you, you would think surely we could pray over a bruised knee. I mean, there's a whole lot of difference between Gracie. Whole lot of difference between praying over a bruised knee than trying to move a mountain, right, girl?
That's right.
Do you know it takes more faith?
Yep.
Sometimes, that's just like that day that me and Gracie was coming back from the shop, and we get right out there on 156, and right in front of me and her, I mean right in front, there's a pickup turned over sideways. I mean, we saw it turn over.
Yep.
It's right in front of us. Man, that girl's such a girl of faith, she just said, "Let's just turn around right here and go back to the shop, no problem." She wasn't worried about nothing, but that pickup was right in front of us, wasn't it, Gracie?
Yes.
Boy, she didn't hesitate to do nothing. I mean, we just went on. But she is such a great woman of faith. She knows, and she lives with a great man of faith, and they know that every time they need something, the thing to do is pray. Now then, when they learn that all you got to do is pray and God answers your prayer, and he answers your prayer every time, it's amazing what we can get done when we realize what we can do in prayer.
Yes.
So if these promises are in the Word of God, and they are, they're my promise and your promise, why in the world do we not use them? Why? I guess because we don't know. Like that gentleman I was talking to a while ago. He said, you know, I'm a Church of Christ. He said, I still go to the Church of Christ. But he said, after listening to your stuff and talking to some of the people you've been associated with, he said, I believe that I'm a believing believer in the church. He said, I may not believe everything that some people believe, but he said, I do believe that God does all these wonderful things. And he said, I've never seen a man. In fact, he said something like this. I've never seen a man that's seen as many miracles. He said, you blow me away. Well, now, wait a minute. If I blow you away, if I'm doing this, and he said something later, I'm just an old country boy. Yeah, I am an old country boy. You're an old country boy or a girl. These promises will work for you.
Amen.
They'll work for me. If they work for you and they work for me, then why, when we have a need, why in the world don't we use these things? Because I think we're so dead spiritually. In fact, do you know, I probably, if I were to get 10 church boys, 10 to 15 years old, and 10 boys that never go to church, and ask them who was head quarterback or whatever for the Dallas Cowboys, you know, probably every one of them would know who that was. You know that?
Yes, sir.
They would probably know. Why? Because they live and breathe football. They go to school, they live and breathe football at school. But if you were to ask them, do you know who Paul is? They probably couldn't tell you. Paul the Apostle. You might ask them who Jesus was, and they might not even know that. Ain't that something? But I think, let's go back there to Proverbs where we was in chapter 3 and start again and read just a little more there, Dave.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the fruit, first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Now, wait a minute. Read that one more time.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Okay, hold it right there just a minute. How many people need money? Everybody needs money. If you don't believe it, you ought to come out here to this church and listen to the people that come by here and begging for money. I mean, there's people that come by here all the time and need money. They want me to pay their rent, their doctor bill, you name it. And I say, well, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go. Well, where do you tithe? I don't have enough money to tithe. You want to know why you're broke? In other words, if you're not, what did that scripture that Dave just read? Dave, read that one more time loudly and out boldly.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase.
Okay. All your increase. Does anybody have an increase?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody making money?
Amen.
Yeah. And it works, don't it, Chad?
I can guarantee it.
Do you hear what he just said? He's another one of those, he guarantees God's word works. Why can Chad guarantee God's word works when it comes to finances?
He's seen it work.
I mean, he's seen it work.
Many times.
In other words, many times. So, but it will work the rest of your life, son, if you'll do what God says. Because what did he say? Did he say he'd keep your barn full just one time?
Or
what?
No.
In other words, if you obey God and you bless him with the first fruits of all of your increase.
Yes, sir.
Now then, that means if you make $1,000 tomorrow or next week, when you get paid that $1,000, at least $100 of that goes to the Lord and
Amen.
His church.
Amen.
That's where it goes. But people will say, well, you don't have to tithe. You're absolutely right. You don't have to do nothing but die. But if you take that scripture, one more time, that scripture, if you honor the Lord with all your increase, what did he promise our day? One more time.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Okay. If I obey him and do what he says, he promises to bless my socks off and fill my barns and fill my vats to overflowing.
Amen.
So if you're in business today, if you're working for yourself or working for somebody else, if you obey God and do what he says and you take the increase that you get, if you work for somebody else and you take the first fruits every week you take that money and instead of spending it somewhere, you take the first 10% of that money and you give it to the Lord, put it in his church and then do it cheerfully.
Yes.
Don't say, oh, I'm grumbling and complaining because I got to give that preacher down there my money. No, you ain't giving that preacher your money. You're giving that money to God.
Yes.
And he's keeping good records, I guarantee you. I'm like Chad. I've proved that over and over in my life, and he's proved it over in his life.
Yes.
We both know that when you give to the Lord, he knows and he keeps good records.
Yes.
I mean, he keeps good records. But I like that part in there, that if I bless him with the first fruits of all of my increase, he will keep my barns full and my vats full of grape juice, and my wheat fields will produce multitudes of wheat. I mean, is this what Dave's reading? Is this the Word of God?
Yes.
Read it again, Dave. I'd love to hear it.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase.
The first fruit. Remember what he said. Honor him with the first fruit. Don't pay your bills. Don't pay your rent. And if you got anything left, say, okay, now then I'll give God a little. Take the first fruits, the first part of that increase. That's what he loves for you to do. The very first part of the increase goes to the Lord. And if you do that, read on, Dave.
So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
So that means I don't have to worry about nothing, right?
No.
I mean, I don't have to go out and beg nobody to help pay my hospital bill.
No.
I don't have to beg somebody, you know, to provide for me. I mean, if that's the case, and this is true, then why are all these Christian people? I had one guy last year had a problem with his wife. I gave him money two times to pay his rent. And then he come by a third time, and I told him, son, you're going to have to find you a job. I'm not going to pay for your upkeep. I said, you're not going to church, and you're not tithing. And I said, you told me you would do that. And I said, you have not done it. So I said, you know, you're going to be a beggar the rest of your life until you start obeying God. Well, he quit coming to see me. This year, his wife got a problem again. She's sick again, and he comes out with one of his daughters, and they want me to provide them with money so they can pay their rent again. I told him, no. I said, you're not doing what God says. I said, if you get out there and do what God told you to do and come out here to the healing school, bring your wife out here, and if y'all would do what you're supposed to, I said, you could get healed, and then you wouldn't be in the hospital. You wouldn't have them hospital bills. But he don't believe that. So I said, well, then that's tough. You know, I'm telling you a way out. I mean, I'm telling you the way to do things, but he won't listen. I mean, you got the Word of God, and you take it out, and you look at it, and you tell him, saying, now, this is what the Bible says right here. We can lay hands on you. You get rid of your sin, and we lay hands on you, and you will get well. But I don't think that'll work for me. I said, of course it won't work for you. You don't believe. You got to believe it'll work for you. If you don't believe, I mean, I was on the phone with a girl the other day, and I'm telling her over and over and over. I said, honey, you got to believe. You got to believe. She said, well, I do believe. I said, no, you don't. You know, she kept saying, well, I'm so old and all this, whatever. I said, no. Old don't have nothing to do with it. I said, you got to believe. You got to believe. You got to know you're a daughter of the King, and you got to believe if you want to get well. Wow. I love having my barns full. I love being blessed financially, don't you?
Yes.
Do you know, I love not having to worry about, okay, where am I going to get my sandwich this afternoon? What am I going to do to eat? I'm not worried about where I'm going to eat because I know God's going to provide for me today.
Amen.
He provides for me every Sunday.
Amen.
But he not only provides for me on Sunday, he provides me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday too.
Amen.
Doesn't he, you?
Yes.
Every day. But you, and the more you do what he says, the more blessings you got stored up, right? That's okay, Dave, read on.
My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction.
Oh, wow. You reckon that might hurt sometimes if you got a bust in from the Lord? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want one of them. But he says, it's going to come. In other words, there's going to be times when he's going to bust you. He's going to give you a board. He's going to board on your backside. He will do that. Okay, read on, Dave.
For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth.
Oh, now I like that. If I'm being tested and adjusted, and he's busting my rear end, I can say at least, Lord, thank you for loving me. I know if you're giving me a tail busting, it's because I've done something wrong and you want me to do what's right. So I know this is for my good. That's when your dad would say, son, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. And you say, yeah, sure it is, Dad, but it does. So anyway, read on, Dave.
For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth.
Amen. Read on.
Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold.
Wow. This thing. It's finer than gold. Get out there and dig for wisdom. Wisdom is the best thing you can find. Jesus is wisdom. And when you find him, you find out that in him are all the hidden secrets of the universe. In him. There's wisdom. I mean, wisdom and knowledge and understanding to do anything. The young boy that goes out there in the world today trying to learn how to do things that didn't have a daddy that taught him about Jesus and that everything is available through Jesus Christ, they have missed, the daddy has missed a tremendous blessing and the children have missed a tremendous blessing. We need to teach our children that any time we need something, the answer is in the Word of God. It's in Jesus. So don't hesitate to ask him for wisdom. He says, any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives cheerfully without finding fault. He will bless you. I'll tell you how that works. I had a young lady and her husband a few years ago. They come and stood right there. And that young lady said, Mr. Scribner, I've read your article about breast cancer, and I know that you're convinced that people that have breast cancer have unforgiveness. But she said, I have breast cancer in my right breast, and I'm telling you, I have no unforgiveness toward nobody. I can assure you that I am walking in obedience to God's word. I said, well, ma'am, all I can say is the evidence is against you. The evidence is against you. In other words, if God's word says you got something wrong with you and it's caused by this, then you better, when he says forgive everybody from your heart, what do you think he means?
Forgive.
And I said, so the evidence is against you. But anyway, Cheryl said, let me talk to her. So Cheryl started talking to the lady. And then I says, Lord, you said in your word that any man lacked wisdom, let him ask you. So Lord, this young lady is saying she has no unforgiveness. I need wisdom to deal with her case because I want to get this girl healed in Jesus' name. And just as clear as the bell, the Lord says, son, ask her if her husband has ever committed adultery on her. I said, Cheryl, honey, hold it. I said, I just got a word from the Lord. I said, honey, has your husband ever committed adultery on you? And she says, yes, he has, 15 years ago, but I forgive him. And then the Lord says, ask her if she's forgiven the woman. So I said, ma'am, did you ever forgive the woman that your husband committed adultery with? And when I said that, she went, that's what I thought too. And I said, well, there's your problem. So I said, you know, you have not forgiven that woman. She said, you're right. I have not forgiven that woman. I said, that's why you got breast cancer. I said, now then, do you want to lose your breath? And she said, absolutely not. I said, I'd hate to think you lose your breath, and all you got to do is confess. She said, Lord, I repent, I forgive her, I'll turn her over to you and let you judge her in Jesus' name. So the lady did all that. We prayed for her, laid hands on her and prayed for her, commanded that spirit of curse to leave her. And the next month when they came to the healing school, that girl was healed. Completely healed. I had a girl last night call in. She said, I want to praise the Lord for his living Savior ministry. She said, my mother, I forget one, maybe it's one of her sisters, whoever it was. Somebody had unforgiveness against somebody, and they had a problem with cancer in the breast. She said, you told us what we had to do, and so said we repented of the sin. You prayed the prayer of faith for her. And she said, that's been a couple of years ago. Said my sister, said the family kept wanting her to go back and have it checked to the hospital. I said, well, we're okay, we're healed. And she said, Jesus healed us. They said, no, that stuff don't work. So she said, we finally let them talk us into going to the doctor to have a checkup. Said we needed something else done, so we went and said while we were there, they checked for cancer in that breast and said there was absolutely nothing there. It was totally clean. It was completely pure. Isn't that amazing how God can heal? And your church buddies. Ain't that right, Baron?
Yes.
It just never ceases to blow me away how difficult it seems for us to believe the Word of God. You know why I think we don't want to believe the Word of God? If I have to believe the Word of God, if I do say I believe it, that means then I have to obey it.
Yeah.
Not just the cancer part, but every part.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to obey everything it says. And you know, there's some people don't want to obey God's word. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true.
They just don't want to obey it. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. So I ain't going to believe it. So I'm going to take this part and I ain't going to believe this part. I'm going to believe this part, but I ain't going to believe that part. You can't do that. So if you really want to be a believing believer, when it comes to healing, if you want to get people healed, that means when you lay hands on somebody, you need to believe or expect they're going to get well, especially if you remit their sins. If I've remitted your sin or I pray for you, that's why I say, I guarantee you're healed. Because if you believed, and like I did, if two of us agree, did he say if two of us agree, it's done?
Yes,
so it will work. So that's the secret. Okay, Dave, read on a little further there.
She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor.
Wow, just think about what he just said. What's available to us through wisdom? That sounds like some pretty good stuff. Don't you like that stuff?
Yeah.
So that would make it worthwhile obeying God's word, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, okay, read on, Dave.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her.
Wow, a tree. Did you say a tree of life? Is that what you said?
Yes.
She is
a tree of life. To those that what?
Lay hold on her.
Wisdom is a wonderful thing, is it not?
Yes.
Why are we not seeking this word more? Why does people not read the Bible? Do what?
They're afraid of it.
They're afraid of it. Yeah, they really are. Wow. I love the Word of God, don't you, girl? I mean to tell you, it's got life and health and everything else in there, doesn't it, youngin? Wow. Read on, Dave. Let's see what else it says.
The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding he hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet.
Wow. Do you want to lay down and have sweet sleep?
Yes.
Say, Lord, I claim that. I claim that. In fact, a gentleman, Andy, when Andy used to come all the time, that's how he got healed. When he first came here the first Sunday, he heard about us. He said, I need a miracle. I can't sleep. I quoted that proverb to him, said, the Lord, if you'll obey the Lord and do what he says, he'll give you sweet sleep in Jesus' name. I prayed a prayer for him, and as far as I know, as long as he came here, he never had another problem with sleeping good at night. I mean, but see, God put that in there, but if you don't claim it, it don't work. You got to know it's in there. So he said, to those that put these words and digs in them like mining for silver and gold, as you mine for that, and you find it, when you find it, you put it to a lot of work in your life, and it will work, and it will give you sweet, peaceful sleep.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, can God lie?
No.
Nope. So if you find it, but now what if it's been in there all the time and you never knew it? Then it won't work. I mean, it will not work. Okay, Dave.
Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken.
Wow.
Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go, and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just.
Listen to that. Read that again. The curse and the blessing of the Lord. See what he said.
The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked.
Okay, so if that's true, if you're doing anything wicked, remember the man in Matthew, that whenever he didn't forgive, the Lord called him the wicked servant. So that, you know, you may not look at yourself as wicked, but if you're not walking in love, doing what God says you're wicked. And if you're wicked, he says the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Do you want the curse of God to be in your house?
No.
Boy, I'm telling you, I don't want the curse of God in my house. I guarantee I want to obey him and do what he says. I want to be blessed. I want my family blessed. I don't want anything to create a problem with my family. Because I've seen far too many times what happens to a family when the curse of the Lord is on that house. And boy, it ain't no fun. I mean, they are sick and afflicted, and there's accidents and car wrecks and injuries of every kind, and children sick and afflicted. That's a curse of the Lord. I don't want that. I don't want to live there. I want to live in the blessings of life. Okay, Dave, read on.
The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly.
Wow.
The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools.
Wow. Where are we at on that proverb?
That's the end of chapter 3.
That's the end of it? Okay. Read that last line one more time.
The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools.
Wow. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a fool.
No.
I want to walk in obedience to God's word where he can bless me and my family. Don't you?
Yes.
So from this chapter 3 that we've read today, that has a lot of good information in it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
A lot of good information. And would it would it be justified by doing what's right?
Yes.
I mean, should you do what's right so you can be blessed, or do you want to be cursed? I want to be blessed. I want a long, healthy life. I don't want the curse of the Lord to be on me and my house. I want to be blessed. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you for this word. Your word is the word you've given us, and Lord, we thank you for blessing us with the word, showing us what to do. Continue to reveal to us the truth of the Word of God and the wonderful privilege we have when we know Jesus and the wisdom that He alone can send. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us in everything we do, and because we are your children. We're sons and daughters of God, and we praise you and thank you for being our King and our Lord and our God. Now bless us as we go forth this week. Show us what we need to do. Lord, just every day show us exactly what we need to do so we can be blessed. And we can bless others. And I thank you and praise you for blessing us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen.